The art of scaling organizations. Scaling is key to the success of any organization. It's a challenge that every leader faces when their organization is growing. Scaling means spreading the great performance that already exists in one part of the organization to other areas or people. This is why scaling is often called the problem of more. However, creating more good results can look different in every organization. For example, scaling can involve growing a tech startup from 20 to 40 employees, opening a new burger restaurant in another country, or reducing mistakes in hospitals. Scaling doesn't just mean copying what works, but also improving along the way. It's about making things better as you expand. Scaling requires constant innovation, changes in behavior, and new strategies for delivering products or services. A great example is Bridgewater International Academies, a network of schools in developing countries. They started with one school in 2009 and now have over 210. As they scaled, their leaders focused not just on growth, but on improving practices. For example, they're now creating new ways to help teachers work better with students who have different learning abilities. Scaling is important but can be tricky. While there is no simple formula for success, we can learn key principles and strategies from those who have done it well. The marathon of scaling. If you want to improve your organization's performance, be ready for a marathon, not a sprint. Scaling is a long, tough process, not a quick fix, and it requires patience and persistence to overcome challenges along the way. Think of scaling as a ground war rather than an air war. An air war might be fast and straightforward, but it won't lead to long-term success. Instead, you need to invest time, effort, and resources to make real progress. For example, in Facebook's early days, Mark Zuckerberg worked closely with every employee to ensure they shared the company's vision and values. Today, new hires still go through a demanding 6-week program to learn the company's culture and prove themselves. Perseverance means focusing on people. Instead of pushing one person far ahead, think about helping many people make small, steady improvements. A great example is Andy Papa, who after a successful football career, worked in a motorsports pit crew. He saw inefficiencies and used his sports experience to make the crew more effective. By training the team and improving their methods, he helped them work faster during races. Right balance. When you're scaling your business for the long term, you'll face a key trade-off: standardization versus local variation. Standardization is about creating a consistent model across all locations. This approach, compared to the centralized structure of the Catholic Church, is called Catholicism in the author's terms. A great example is the U.S. burger chain In-N-Out Burger, where every store is identical, with the same training, rules, and uniforms. Local variation allows for more flexibility based on the needs of each location. This approach, similar to Buddhism, focuses on a shared mindset but allows for differences in practice. IKEA is a good example. While it mostly sells products for customers to assemble themselves, in China, it offers delivery and assembly because the DIY approach isn't as popular there. Your goal isn't to choose one approach over the other, but to find the right balance for your business. Kaiser Permanente is a great example of a mixed approach. They set some firm rules for their electronic health record system, like the mandatory name, KP Health Connect, and a uniform user experience, but allowed local branches to choose specific configurations. Think about which approach fits your company's needs and how you can balance standardization and local flexibility to achieve the best results. Beliefs versus behavior. When you're beginning a scaling project, the first step is to motivate your organization to get on board. You can choose to focus on either changing people's beliefs or changing their behavior. Some experts believe that changing beliefs is the best place to start because beliefs drive actions. For example, if you want more students to wear helmets while biking to campus, you could ask a student who had an accident without a helmet to share their story. This emotional appeal can help students rethink their views on helmet use. Stanford University used this method and it was successful. However, other studies show that changing behavior first can eventually lead to a change in beliefs. For example, you could make helmets look stylish to encourage students to wear them. Over time, this behavior change might lead to a change in their beliefs about helmets. Both strategies are effective, so pick the one that works best for you. The key is to start somewhere and take action. next steps in your scaling journey. As your business grows, you'll need more people, resources, and layers of management to keep everything running. However, one big mistake when scaling up is adding unnecessary complexity too soon. Adding too many people, rules, and standards too quickly can make things inefficient. For example, imagine you work as a sales manager at a store, and a customer asks for a refund on a damaged product. Could you imagine if you needed the approval of 9 people before you could decide on such a simple issue, instead of just using your own judgment? This was the problem for the sales staff at West Coast gas stations, where too much red tape slowed things down, and employees often took months to solve small problems. As businesses grow, it's hard to avoid these extra burdens, but they can sneak in over time. What worked well before can become too complicated later. The solution is to always keep an eye out for unnecessary rules and processes. For example, at Adobe, leaders decided to stop holding formal annual performance reviews. Instead, they introduced more frequent personalized check-ins, regular, informal conversations about performance and career growth between managers and employees. By removing the formal review process, Adobe saved time on paperwork and created space for managers to have more meaningful conversations that supported employee growth. Key strategies for talent and accountability. Finding the right people is key to scaling your business successfully. But it's not just about hiring people with the right skills and training. You also need employees who are accountable and always act in the company's best interests. The challenge is that it's hard to find people who have both the necessary skills and the right attitude. Tamagoya, a food delivery company in Tokyo, found a solution by hiring mostly high school dropouts as drivers. While it might sound odd, after proper training, these drivers turned out to be some of the best employees. They know Tokyo streets better than most locals, are great with customers, and often pick up useful local news for the company. They're also highly accountable because they depend on the job for training and pay and appreciate the opportunity to work for Tamagoya. If you want to build a company like Tamagoya, there are several ways to develop talent with accountability. One method is creating a strong sense of shared purpose and belonging. For example, at BP, a global gas and oil company, managers treat the company like a sports team. They build team spirit by pushing employees to outperform their main competitor, Shell, by slamming the clam, a reference to part of Shell's logo. By following BP's lead and focusing on your company's values and strengths, you can build pride and identity, making your company stand out from the competition. Spread good behavior in the organization. What's even better than having excellent and accountable people who set a great example in your organization? Creating deep connections among them. The key to spreading good behavior is not just having good people, but having as many of them as possible. In other words, diversity can spread good behaviors more effectively than anything else. Diversity helps anchor your efforts across different departments, locations, and functions. It shows that benefits reach different groups, not just one. For example, JetBlue solves operational problems by inviting employees from various roles and backgrounds, baggage handlers, pilots, mechanics, and more, to discuss solutions. To make the most of your company's diversity, use a variety of tools and strategies. If you want to promote best practices for reducing energy use, combine different approaches. For instance, the CEO could issue a message encouraging energy reduction while also hosting a bazaar-style event for employees to share personal energy-saving tips. This way, you cater to different needs, preferences, and motivations. Destructive behavior in teams. Handling disruptive behavior in teams is crucial for maintaining productivity. Even one person with a negative mindset can significantly reduce group performance by as much as 30 to 40%. This happens because negativity spreads easily, affecting everyone. It also consumes valuable time and effort to manage. Leaders must tackle destructive behavior head-on before focusing on promoting positive practices. Adopting a zero-tolerance policy towards bad behavior is a good starting point. Rather than immediately resorting to firing, there are other effective strategies to consider. For instance, at Stanford University's design school, disruptive individuals were grouped with guidance from a coach. Surprisingly, this approach led to positive outcomes. By allowing disruptive personalities to interact within their group, they balanced each other out, improving overall team dynamics. By addressing destructive behavior early and employing strategic interventions, leaders can encourage a more productive and harmonious team environment. This proactive approach not only mitigates negative impacts but also promotes a culture where everyone can contribute positively to organizational goals. Project Premortem to improve scaling strategy. To successfully scale your initiative, try a technique called a Project Premortem. This method involves imagining that your scaling effort has already succeeded or failed and analyzing the reasons behind the outcome. First, divide your team into two groups. One group will act as if the scaling effort was a big success, while the other will act as if it was a huge failure. Both groups will then discuss their scenarios and identify causes for success or failure. For example, someone in the success group might say, "The scaling worked because we focused on keeping our care patient-centered." This approach helps uncover potential problems and prevents overly optimistic views. Research shows that it improves your ability to predict future outcomes by 30%. By thinking from a future perspective, you can ask important questions like, "Was the scaling effort practical? Was it worth the time and money?" For instance, Mitch Kapor founded Lotus in 1982, and it grew rapidly. But once it became a big corporation, he realized he wasn't happy with the changes. A premortem might have helped him avoid this disappointment. Key points. 1. Scaling is a marathon, not a sprint. Success requires patience and persistence. 2. Balance standardization and local variation to scale effectively, like In-N-Out versus IKEA. 3. Decide whether to change beliefs or behavior first when starting a scaling project. 4. Manage complexity carefully to avoid becoming a big dumb company as you grow. 5. Hire for skills and accountability and enhance a shared purpose to drive success. 6. Spread good behavior through diversity and various strategies to promote best practices. 7. Use a project premortem to anticipate problems and improve your scaling strategy.